It's been said that most people die at age 25 and wait to be buried at age 65. So the big question is this: how are entrepreneurs like us who believe in God and read the Bible preparing for the financial danger that the bankers and brokers do not want us to know about? How do we resist a life that's less than we are promised and hold on to our dreams so that we can live in fullness every day? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the secret. My name is Nate Scott, and welcome to the Life is Rich podcast.
So, Michael, I want to thank you for joining me tonight. The background, the background to this is I was in the military and spouse group today, and I saw someone make a post regarding a home-based business opportunity, and the comments that followed it really honed in on saying, well, if the person didn't mention the company, then it must be a scam or an MLM. And then others came in and addressed MLM. And it kind of just set me off because I saw someone that was being attacked based upon generalizations as opposed to the individual and actually listening to whatever it is that she had. So I had no skin in the game. I don't have any clue about who the person is or what they do or anything. But what I am is someone that is a business owner, that's an entrepreneur, that has been exposed to various business models. And I've always made a point of evaluating whatever it was that was presented and then making informed decisions. But more importantly, because I'm a strategic leadership coach, I've always made a point of evaluating things so that I can give my clients the pros and the cons. And I find that's the one thing that I see across the board that continuously puts people in a situation where they're running away from the term MLM without any type of education and understanding about, number one, that's not a business. MLM is not a business. MLM is a method of marketing. And not understanding that all entrepreneurs who start companies have to decide how they're going to move their product or service to the market. And that the MLM model is simply a methodology for someone to move their products and services to the market. And so that's the backstory. And my desire is simply now to move into action because I'm like, you know what? I was saying to the young ladies who made their comments, hey, why don't you provide some type of tips of something so that people can do something with other than just saying MLM is bad, blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to wait on that. Let me pull together a summit. Let me find out who's actually in the group and then create a panel discussion so that in turn, those voices can be heard as opposed to everyone hearing the negative people saying things that they probably have no experience with because they probably were always out on the outside reading Facebook posts or doing something, Google searching and calling that research as opposed to being inside. So that's the backstory to everything and who I am and what I'm about and what not really who I am, but more importantly, what brings me to this particular point of bringing it to the table. So to that end, I just want to know who you are, learn a little about your story, you and your wife, and then I'll ask some questions as I'm prompted to based upon what you share. But initially, I just want to learn about who you are, man. Tell me a little bit. I know you're a veteran, so talk to me.
So my name is Michael Davis. I live in Chesapeake, Virginia right now. And I was active duty for almost 15 years. I had some injuries that sidelined me, so I didn't get to finish serving. Actually, it was I saw you said West Point, right? So you were Army. So I was Navy, and then I went and worked with the Army in the desert for a little while. They broke me. So some injuries put me home. But even before that, when I was a young sailor, E2, E3, I don't know if you remember the pay scale, but it wasn't enough money. So way back in 2002, 2001, I started looking for a way to make some extra money. And so I got introduced to direct sales and multi-level marketing. And I liked the idea, right, that I had the ability to take my future in my hands. And so I was involved with a couple of different companies, and I'm not going to name drop and I'm not going to do all that, but I was involved with a couple of different companies. And then in 2004, I found a company that I thought was my home. I was there for almost 15 years. And we made pretty significant money there, but for some some personal reasons, we decided to leave that company. And it wasn't so much multi-level marketing or network marketing as a whole, but I think because of the way the industry has gone, to be completely honest with you, I believe it's more the way society has gone. I don't know if this is really what you're looking for, but I find that most people, first of all, most of the people that I've met that have those negative comments have never had any real experience or success in generally any sort of business. Because when I talk to a traditional business owner, a multi-level model makes sense. Then they understand why it works. And they understand why it doesn't work, right? Because most people don't want to work. I find a lot of the people that you talk to, they want their computer to print money. And I've not yet found that. If you find it, let me know, I'm in. But until then, we got to do some work. And unfortunately, I think a lot of these companies got very big very quickly. And with that, it becomes very difficult to police all the actions of the hundreds of thousands of independent distributors. And so you get some spammy stuff. And I think that spammy stuff, unfortunately, gives the company a bad name. And in turn, gives the industry a bad name. Now, there have absolutely been some bad ones over the last 20, 30 years. And fortunately, the FTC has done a pretty good job of shutting those companies down relatively quickly. But I think a lot of times it's because I find that people just don't want to do the work and they don't do enough research ahead of time, because not every network marketing company is built for everybody, regardless of what the company literature will have you believe. You know, it's not to say that anybody couldn't do it, young, old, skilled, you know, master's degree, carpentry, doesn't matter, right? You can come from all backgrounds, but I think you have to find something that matches you as a person. I think you have to find a company that lines up with your values. Because, you know, it's interesting. I was having a conversation with a gentleman not too long ago who was in a company, that company that I was in for all of those years. And he's not really making much money. And I know why, and he knows why, right? He spends a lot of time at happy hour and not a lot of time, you know, working on his business. And that's okay. But, you know, he said, I'm in love with the mission, right? But what I would say to that is, if you came here to be married, like I have a wife, I don't need to love a mission. I came here for a business. So I need to find something that I love. And you, as the person looking, you need to find something that makes sense to you, that you can love while you succeed in it. Because just loving the idea, you know, a lot of people love a lot of ideas, right? I love the idea of everything Mother Teresa did for people, right? But I don't have the ability, the capability to do that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so I think it's important that you align with a company that has your values. Now, again, I'm not saying you're going to agree with everything an individual says, but the company in general has to. So for me, one example, for a short time, I was involved in a very large cosmetics company, and I actually did pretty well there. But long term, it wouldn't have made sense because I don't wear a ton of makeup, right? So are there men successful in that company? Absolutely. But I was swimming against the stream. You know what I mean? It's a much easier market for a woman or somebody that wears makeup to succeed in. That's just, so that didn't make sense for me. So I was always an in-shape guy, right? I was command fitness leader. A couple of my commands when I was active duty. So nutrition and fitness always made sense to me. Wellness. So I was in that space for a very long time. And recently, like I said, we've shifted and we're still kind of in the wellness category, but we're not so much hands-on with meal plans and stuff, because it was more work than I wanted to do. And I recognize that, right? I got kids. I got one off to college. Now I've got another one about to go to college, and I don't want to be in homes doing meal plans at 11 o'clock at night. I don't want to do that anymore. So, you know, I had to shift for me and my family, because we wanted that freedom that we always had with the entrepreneurship, right? Because after I got out of the military, fortunately for us, I didn't have to go back to a regular job. We had enough income coming in that we were able to say, hey, we'll just tighten up for a few months and build this a little bit and we'll stay here. And that's where we are. We were able to move. Like I said, we've got a daughter that's a junior in college and you know, we're doing okay. Mm-hmm. For me, I think I tell people when I'm talking to them about whether they're looking at joining my business or not, I give them some key things. I said, look, even if we get off the phone here and you don't like anything I show you, take this little list with you no matter where you go. Because there's something out there for you, but you have to have some things that make sense for you, right? It's you don't want, you know, for my wife and I, we wanted something that was stable and sustained. So for us, that meant something that was 7 years old or more. Just because unless I'm building it, I'm not going to come get involved with your company that's been around for 6 months, because what if I work my tail off and you're gone in a year, right? So I wanted some, and that was my personal preference. If I was 20, I might not care about that. But at this point in my life, I want that stability. You know what I mean? And there's some other things, right? Find a niche that makes sense for you, right? And it has to be, you know, there are some companies out there that a lot of their business is done on hype. But at the end of the day, if you want real income, it's got to be something people want and need and can afford, right? It's great if you're something, you know, takes all the lines off of my face. But if it's $800 a bottle, right, and I can sell one to grandma one time, and then she just bought it because she loves me, that's not a sustainable model to me. And so I think it's important that you look at all that too. And for me, I tell people, I said, look, you got to find something that makes sense for you, and you've got to decide why you're doing it. Because everybody wants to make more money. If I walk out and I talk to 100 guys on the street and say, hey, you want to make some extra money? Every one of them is going to say yes. Mm-hmm. If I say, hey, you want to do some work and make some money? Yeah, maybe 70 of them say yes. You know what I mean? And I say, you want to suck it up and put in a little bit of work and make long-term money, you know, maybe 6 months from now, a year from now. Yeah, maybe we're down to 30, mm-hmm. right? And I say, you want to work your butt off and 2 years from now, be able to live the life of your dreams. Then I'm down to 10. And those are the 10 I want to talk to, right? But I tell people, you got to decide why you want to do it. Because if you're trying to make an extra $200 a month because you want $200, $200 is paper, right? Money doesn't matter. It's paper. What does that $200 represent? Oh, my wife's wheels are falling off, right? I need to get a car. Well, that is a reason. $200 isn't a reason. Nobody jumps out of bed and says, man, I'm going to make $10,000 this month. Nobody does that, right? They say, man, I'm going to Hawaii this month. You know what I mean? Right. Just right. Like, and people, you sit down with them and you start having strategy sessions with them. And what are you looking for here? Right. Man, I want to pay off Capital One. No, you don't. Like that's an ancillary benefit and you should do that. But nobody jumps out of bed saying, man, I'm paying Capital One off this month, boy. Nobody, that doesn't get you jacked up. Right. What gets you jacked up is, hey, I'm going to be able to go get that new home because my credit's better because I paid off all that debt. Mm. Does that make sense?
That's it.
So I ask people that, because if people tell me I want to make $200, I said, you know what? Go collect some cans, right? There's people with scrap metal in their backyard. Go grab that. You know what I mean? There's lots of ways to make $200.
Right.
But there's not a lot of ways to make good money and feel good about what you're doing. And I think that's important. And there are companies out there, unfortunately, that when you lay down at night, you made some money, but you feel a little icky, right? Mm-hmm. So make sure you don't involve yourself with one of those, you know, network marketing or otherwise. Right. It could be you could be a door-to-door salesman, right? And maybe it's skeevy, right? Nobody's buying encyclopedias anymore. You know what I mean? So you got to feel good about it when you go to bed at night, or when you look at your kids, right? When I'm on my deathbed, which hopefully is many, many years from now, and my kids are getting handed my legacy, that they don't like throw it down in disgust because it's gross, right? You know what I mean? Like I want it to be something that my kids can be proud of, and my grandkids can be proud of. You know, and on top of all of that, I don't even care about the money, but the work ethic, right? I want my kids have always seen that. And all of my kids have great work ethic because I was still active duty when we started working from home, and my wife was still working two jobs. So they'd see us come home from these jobs. And in those little 15, 20 minute sections, we're doing some phone calls, right? But all of a sudden we're going on vacation. You know what I mean? So my kids saw the value of that hard work. And I will say, in its defense, there is not many things like multi-level marketing or network marketing that you can do in 30, 45 minutes a day. There's just not many traditional businesses that you can do that. And it's funny that you say that about that post, because I actually did the same thing on that page today, because somebody said something about their opportunity and it was like $40 or something. And somebody posted, you should never have to pay to get a job. And I said, well, she didn't offer a job. I said, that's the difference between a business and a job.
That's right.
One costs a little bit of money because it affords you much more freedom. You know what I mean? And I don't know who's looking at opening a traditional business, but any of these companies, you know, significantly less than opening a burger joint. You know what I mean? And it's true that 97% or whatever, that I saw that post too, a lot of people fail. And I think that's twofold. In my personal opinion, these are my opinions, right? I am not the be all end all for sure, but I think, in my opinion, there's a couple of reasons for that. One, a lot fewer of those people are actually trying to build a business than the numbers would have you believe. a large portion of those people get those distributorships or those memberships or whatever they're called in that company for the discounted product for themselves. So for the companies that have taken the time to separate those two things, I think you'll find those numbers are drastically different. And the other thing is, for the group that's, you know, is there to build a business, I think a much smaller portion of them are really there to build a business. I think a lot of people think it's very, very easy to build a business of any sort, you know, whether it's construction or, you know, you go talk to a bricklayer and ask him how easy it was to start his bricklaying company. You know what I mean? He was knocking on doors saying, hey, you know, let me fix this. And he was getting, you know, low ball prices and, you know, all this stuff, right? It happens to everybody. And I think, you know, people have this misconception that working from home, you know, I tell people, we used to have this discussion because my mother-in-law used to live right across the street from me. Mm-hmm. And so when we both started working full-time from home, my mother-in-law assumed it meant she could come over anytime. And finally, my wife actually sat down with her and said, look, if I was still working in corporate America and you just showed up at my job for 4 hours every afternoon, I would get fired, you know? So, you know, my wife said some, she said, look, this hour to this hour, don't come in my house because I'm working, right? This is my business. And that's what we had to do. And now the great thing is that was like 3 hours a day or whatever, you know what I mean? It wasn't 8 hours plus a commute on both sides. And, right. You know, but we had to set those boundaries and most people fail to do that, right? Most people fail to schedule their time in general, let alone time for a business. And when you're putting it on top of, you know, a regular job maybe and some kids and, you know, and I think it's important that whatever company you decide to work with, if you decide to work with a company, that you sit down with whoever's supposed to be mentoring you and explain to them the time that you have, because I think that happens a lot of times too, right? People will get started and the person that's supposed to be coaching them, they tell them whatever they think they want to hear. And so I can't help you if you say, look, man, four hours a day, I got you, right? We're on it. And I say, great, let's put together some numbers. This is what we can expect. And then a month from now, we don't see anything like that. Well, then I find out you've been working 10 minutes a day because you don't really have 4 hours a day. You just, if you would have told me you had 10 minutes a day, we would have come up with a whole different plan. You know what I mean? So I think people set themselves up to fail that way. And the other thing is 90% of it's here. Mm-hmm. You know, people, I had the opportunity, I'm sure you're familiar with Jim Rohn. I had the opportunity. What's that?
I co-authored a book with him.
Yeah, that's awesome. I had the opportunity to have lunch and dinner with him one time. It was a great experience. And, he talked a lot about how people don't tend to go above their personal development. And you see it happen all the time, right? I actually just did a live video on this the other day on Facebook, because you see people get the flashy house or the flashy boat and they have it for 6 months because they weren't ready for it. Or the IPO, the company becomes a $1 billion company and 6 months later it's bankrupt because they weren't ready for that kind of success. They thought they were, and they convinced all the investors that they were, but they really weren't. Or you see people hit the lottery and blow through $30 million in 2 years, right? And now they're drug addicts on the street and they're worse off than they were before. And it's because of their personal development. It's not because the money is bad, right? The money's good, you know? And it's interesting because in our journey, I have found the industry of network marketing, because it afforded me entrepreneurship for a much lower entry cost than any traditional business would have. And what I do now is a little bit different than traditional network marketing, but a lot of the philosophies are the same. I'm still talking to folks, right? I'm still doing all that. But I found in my journey, the best thing about it is the personal development. You know, the person you have to become to be able to do all these things, be able to get on a Zoom with you, right? And have this conversation. And for me, we were talking about it the other day about our goals. And I realized I have some goals in my current business, but I realized they have nothing to do with the money. Like, I'm going to keep the money. I'm not going to send it back, right? But I realize that if I get to this point, they'll let me speak on stage in front of 10,000 people. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite thing to do. I love teaching about the psychology. I love teaching about how the human brain works. I love teaching about why vision boards actually work. It's my passion. I love it. And so I'll take the money, but I realize now I work with groups of 3 or 4 or 5 people, either in my business or outside of my business. Because again, this is what I love to do. So I'll do it for a totally different business. Matter of fact, I met today with a gentleman who owns a painting company and he wants me to come and do some leadership stuff with his employees. Mm-hmm. And I love it. It's my favorite thing. But I realized that this, you know, the way the world is, if I make, you know, $100,000, some people might listen to me. If I make $500,000, more people, you know, the seats are full. And then I have the ability to impact, you know, 10,000 people. And it's my favorite thing. And that's what I want. That's where all my business advancement goals are, Like, it has nothing to do with it. I don't even know what the money is. Well, I mean, that's not true. I do know what the money is. I am smart enough to realize you got to know what numbers you're going after. But I don't care about it. Like, I really, really don't. Like, I'm waiting for the phone call to say, hey, you know what? We want you to share what's happened for you and see if you can't help some of these people. It's my favorite thing. I'll pay for my own plane ticket. I don't care. I love it. I love it. My biggest problem in that side of it is I don't ever charge. I don't charge anything ever to people. Like this painting guy, like I was telling my wife, I said, I got to figure out something because the guy's expecting to pay me money. But I enjoy it so much. I've never charged anybody for it.
Yeah.
Wow. I sat on the phone one time with a guy for 9 hours. I've never met the guy. It's not even in my business. You know, and now the guy's a multimillionaire. I'm like, oh, I probably should have charged him some money. You know what I mean? Like, but it is what it is. You live and you learn. But yeah. It's cool because I get to be part of that guy's story forever, right? I talked to this dude and, changed my life. I get to be part of that forever. And that's good. Pretty cool too.
So, Michael, let me ask you this real quick. So walk me back to the beginning. And were you seeking an opportunity or how was it shared with you in the beginning? How did you actually?
So 2000, 2001, I actually read a newspaper ad, right? Back in the day, they used newspapers. And it was so funny because I saw a telephone pole sign and it had a phone number on it. And I jotted the phone number down, right? I was sitting at a stoplight, I remember. And I jotted the phone number down. And I got home and I lost the phone number. And then like 3 days later, I was reading, I think it was the Navy Times, right? And there was a little classified section in the back and somebody had this ad in there. And I said, I recognize that phone number. So I went in my car and I dug through the floor mats and I found that phone number. It was the same phone number. I said, oh, I got to call this guy, right? I saw his phone number twice. And I called him and I said, what do you got? And he sent me a bunch of cassettes and he sent me a VCR tape. And I watched the VCR tape and it was ridiculously long. It was like 2.5 hours or something, right? This tape. And he went through their marketing plan. And I called him. I said, I'm in. How much is it? You know what I mean? I'm in. I want to be whatever that one is, right? He's like, no, you can't start there. I'm like, what's that one that's $20,000 a month? I want to start there. You know what I mean? That's what I'd like to do. And what do I know? I'm 20 years old or something. And so I got started with him. And it was pretty easy because I was in my A and my C school, right? So I had a captive audience. There was a bunch of us. Most of us didn't have cars. We all lived in barracks. I'm like, hey guys, come check this out. And I sold some stuff and I got some distributors on my team. But same thing, right? People transferred, right? And at the time I had no real concept of leadership, right? So we'd all just sit in a room. I'm like, I don't know, this guy said do this. So we all did this and we all made 200, 300, 500 bucks. But then people started transferring. And at that time I had no idea how to lead somebody that was stationed in Okinawa. And I was living in San Diego, you know, and again, part of it was me. I didn't have that personal development yet. So I'm like, I could call her or, you know, I can go to the bar, you know what I mean? And so that's quite honestly, that's probably why the first two, you know, I never had a lot of success because I never really gave it my all. Mm-hmm. And then that third one came along. Interestingly, I was online looking and this was 2003. Yeah. 2003. So internet marketing was starting to be a thing. And, I mean, it had already been a thing, but it had been reserved for the people that had big, big budgets, but it was finally starting to get to be semi-affordable. So I was on a young lady's website. I put in my information. She called me while I was still on the website. And that was a big deal to me, right? Because there was a real live person. And I talked to her and we're still dear friends. She lives in Hawaii. And so again, I was with them for 14 and a half, almost 15 years. And there's still some products there that I use, right? Because they make some things that I really enjoy. But you know, like I was talking about being in line, we made good money there. You know, I mean, not change the world money, but you know, five figures a month. But again, some things changed, right? The industry changed a little bit. There were some things going on in the marketplace and they reacted to some things and there were some overcorrections, I think, and I understand why they did it. But what happened was not just our money changed. But what I saw was because of some of the changes they had implemented, some of the people that had been kind of coasting by and making a little bit, they weren't making it anymore. So at a certain point for me, it became, you know, I'm still making money, but how many of these people aren't making money anymore? And again, it became a, you know, am I okay with that? Can I go to bed knowing that? And again, I had great results. That was a nutrition company. You know, and my best client weight loss was 200 pounds. So I knew what I was doing. We had, you know, great results. And I know some of those folks were still customers. But so I started looking again, mm-hmm. all these years later. And I actually looked at 72 different companies. I went all over the place, right? Because I knew what I wanted and what I didn't want. I hadn't seen it yet. I wasn't sure what I wanted, but I knew what I didn't want. And again, that's not the same for everybody. Some people want to get into makeup. Some people want to get into nutrition, right? They're big fields. But for me, I didn't want to be that limited anymore. Because personally, I found the retention rates to not be great because, you know, weight loss is a very personal thing, right? It's very time consuming. It can be very draining. You know, on both parties. And so I just found for the amount of hours I was putting in, I wasn't seeing the return that I wanted to see. So I wanted something a little more broad, a little more every day for me personally. And so again, it took me like 2.5 years to find that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it wasn't a just like, let's jump to the next company. Cause I think that happens a lot in this industry too. People go to a company for 6 months and then they jump to another company and they don't ever do anything long enough to see any results. You know, they say, I want to be that guy, you know, and you see the guy or girl that makes 10 grand in their first 3 months, you know what I mean? And they're flying. And, you know, it's funny cause I have a lot of friends that are in that category. And what they would tell you is it's actually harder for them to build their business than the guy or girl coming off the street that makes $500 their first month. Because when they hit a flat spot, maybe they came from another company and they brought a bunch of friends with them or whatever. They had a big circle of influence and they crush it. Well, then when they hit their flat spot, there's not as many people reaching out their hands to help them because they assume they already know what they're doing because they made all this money. Mm. But really, they're a 6-month-old entrepreneur that just had a hot streak right at the beginning. So it becomes harder for them to, you know, and then it becomes a, you know, the whole psychology of pride and some other things kind of come into play. And but for the young person, not young age-wise, but the young in the business person, in all of these companies, there are so many people to help. There are so many people reaching out their hands saying, let me help you. You know, but you've got to make yourself available for that. And so I finally figured out how to do that in that third company. And that's why I was there for almost 15 years, you know, because, you know, I grew up a little bit.
Yeah. So last question I want to ask you is, what would you say to those military spouses who are seeking something, but then they experience someone saying MLM is, MLM is a scam, stay away from MLM. What would you say to the person that is getting that type of feedback before they actually engage in their own research?
Okay. So there's a couple of things, right? The 5-minute mile comes to mind, right? That's a whole different topic, but just because people believe it to be true doesn't make it true. And I don't know where I heard this the first time, but I love it. And I say it all the time. I said, look, I used to really care about other people's opinions and what they said until I went to the gas company and tried to pay my bill with it. You know what I mean? This is your life. And I love it for a military spouse or a military member, really, because for me, that's one of the greatest pieces of it for me, because I could build a strong team of people and then they transferred all over the country. And then they had the ability, you know, to build their own strong team in Seattle or San Diego or Virginia or Okinawa, you know, because Uncle Sam said, hey, we need you to go work here. Right. When I was in Iraq, I averaged $5,000 a month from the desert. You know what I mean? So I would tell people, don't take advice from people that are where you are, right? Because that's not where you want to be, right? Mm. Take advice from people that are where you want to be. Does that make sense?
That's beautiful.
You know, don't take it financial advice from your broke uncle. It doesn't make sense. And if those people say, well, you know, I did that, right? Did they really do it? Find out if they really did it, right? Because most people, even if they leave a network marketing company that have really worked, they've seen the success, even if they maybe didn't have as much as they wanted or something changed in their life. People that did the work see the value in it. You know what I mean? And so again, most traditional business owners I talk to, they love the idea, right? Because if they don't have to pay for, you know, commercials, their overhead just got cut by 60%, you know? Yeah. And so the model is magic. Just make sure whatever you do, don't try to be the quickest, fastest one, right? That's the spammy gross people that give it such a bad name by trying to not build relationships and just spamming 500 people. That's not the right answer. It never works. And you feel gross and they feel gross about you.
Yeah.
And no matter what you do, there's always going to be haters. You know, Grant Cardone is famous for saying, you know, I want 50% of the people to hate me because that means the other 50% love me and I'm rich. You know, there's 7 billion people on the planet. You know, so if you can get half of them to feel strongly to the negative, the other half, you know, conversely, are going to love you and you win. The great thing about these businesses is you don't need 50,000 people in your corner. You need 50, you know? And so I would encourage people to do their own research and talk to people that have the things they want to have. If you want to have a better relationship, don't talk to your sister who's never had a boyfriend longer than 6 weeks, right? Talk to your grandparents who have been married for 71 years. That's who you talk to. You know what I mean? You don't go to the banker to ask about a good cut of beef. You just don't do it. Go to the right people.
Yeah.
Because those people that are telling you it's garbage, unless they say that's garbage, let me show you something better. Unless they're offering you a better opportunity or they're going to pay your bills for you, their opinion doesn't really matter.
There you go. Well, I think that's a phenomenal closing piece. I will tell you a little bit about me. I'm a former enlisted soldier, Desert Storm vet, West Point grad. In 96, the week that I graduated from West Point, I got introduced to the world of personal growth and development and entrepreneurship via network marketing. Now, for me, I've never been drawn into the opportunity. However, the takeaway for me was that I never knew about picking up books and going to seminars around successful people. And so as I've spoken around the world since that time, I tell people, take one West Point degree, take one MBA from George Washington, finance man from Georgetown. When I learned to pick up books and go to seminars to be around successful people, that's what laid the foundation for me to make my first million by 32. That gave me the foundation to understand true education. And so July 8, 2015, as I was leaving LA Fitness, I passed a pink Cadillac, didn't see the person driving it, recognized it as a status symbol, pulled on the side of the road, and she drove by, I flagged her down. I gave her a copy of my book. Said, here, read this. If you get any value from it, you can pay for it later. She contacted me on July 26, telling me she'd read it. She shared it with 30 of her directors. They all wanted it. From there, she asked me to do a conference call with about 200 of her ladies. I said, bring the husbands on. After that, she asked me to do a live event. And then from there, she paid $4,500 for 90 days as our coach. We developed a friendship. And less than a year, we met. In less than a year, we actually married. And so, when she hired me, I asked the question, did she want to create a legacy? She said, yes. And I said, unfortunately, you can't do that with this particular business model. And that came from me doing my due diligence when she hired me to then provide that objectivity. And it was nothing about the company being wrong. It was just that the company's model wasn't something that was going to be able to be sold. The fact that she was at the top of the company, 7-figure earner, youngest Black woman in the history of the company to be a national sales director, still led me to showing that no matter what, she was going to be forced out at 65, get paid for 15 years. And then at say 65 to 80, at 81, that income stops. And so it was that insight that I was able to share with her. And the fact that she hit it so young, she had the option. She had the option that most people didn't have. And that was that she was still young enough to get the retirement because she met the requirement and she had the time to be able to transition into something else and still have her youth to be able to go build something now with that experience to be able to say, you know what, this is actually a real viable option. And now I can find something and I can now educate people based upon what it is I've done successfully and be able to provide some perspective, because I find that most people have never met people that have actually been successful. Absolutely. And so, that's really what's exciting about, you know, my household, where I'm at, is that my wife is someone that was 26 years in the direct sales industry, at the top of the company, 16 years at the top, ran the complete race, retired, got their retirement account, retirement. And the fact that our relationship was with her hiring me as a coach. So there was someone at the highest level who still knew that there was some need to have something else. And so as husband and wife, we provide a plan, mentorship, and support in helping people to live in fullness every day. And things like you mentioned about the value that you provide that you've never charged people for. Well, that's the type of stuff that I speak to people oftentimes in networking space about the value proposition that's really there, that oftentimes is absorbed when people are in network marketing because of the inability to offer to the people that are always around them.
I love this. I appreciate you. I appreciate what you're doing here. And I'd love to have some more conversations with you offline. If there's ever anything I can do to give you value, let me know, please.
Thank you for listening to the Life is Rich podcast. I'm your host, Nate Scott. Remember, if I tell you, you'll forget. If I teach you, you'll remember. But if I involve you, you'll learn. One way to get involved is to rate, subscribe, and leave feedback on iTunes by answering the question, what did you like best about what you heard? One of the problems faced by Christian entrepreneurs striving for success is having an alliance with like-minded people working together for a common, definite objective. Would you like to join a community of Life is Rich soldiers? If so, please rate and subscribe to the Life is Rich podcast on iTunes and text GROWTH to 904-204-0846 for the link and this month's free book. Again, please rate and subscribe to the Life is Rich podcast and text GROWTH to 904-204-0846. Again, my name is Nate Scott. Take care and be blessed.